Waiting isn't inactivity. It's focused and directed activity. And he has a habit of showing up different than he did the last time. And what helps us to recognize him is the voice and the presence. It's awesome to know the voice that knows your name. You know, in Psalms 37, he talks about waiting on the Lord. And that word actually, for waiting, actually means to lie in wait. It gives the picture of setting up an ambush. It's not this sitting in a recliner waiting. It's not inactivity. Waiting isn't inactivity. It's focused and directed activity. It's refining all of our appetites down to the one thing. There are certain seasons in life you can have interest here and interest there, but I think everybody's had the experience where you've had a crisis or a difficulty or something, and all of a sudden nothing matters. In fact, you don't even feel sometimes like you even need to eat and forget to eat a meal or two or three or whatever. I mean, it's like things get so refined in focus. And there are just seasons where that's vital. It's vital that nothing else speaks to you but the one thing. There are seasons, there are periods of time where we have this invitation by the Lord and we just cut everything back. You know, you may be involved in this league and in this activity and that activity, and they're all good. They're all great opportunities to interact with people and to impact community. But there are just times where things are going out so crazy, you just trim everything back, but just the one thing. And it's wisdom to know when to do that. And the outcome of that is that you see so much more clearly. You see much more clearly. You see more when you refine your focus. And the Lord gave a gift to every person in this room that's been born again. It's the gift of sight. It's the gift of sight, seeing an unseen world. Because he said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is invisible. The effects are visible, but the kingdom itself is invisible. I think I mentioned last week, a week before sometime, that you know, if we stand out there in the lobby and look out the windows, we can't tell if the wind is blowing by seeing the wind. We can only see the effects. We can see the flags moving, the leaves on the trees, clothing, somebody's hair. You can only see the effects. And learning to recognize the effects of the kingdom, the present tense reality of the kingdom, is part of what the Lord is teaching us. He's teaching us how his world works so that we know how to recognize when he shows up. I remember when we came here 20 plus years ago, there was a lot of excitement in the air because we talked about revival, but when he came different than what everybody expected, that was really difficult for many. You know, after Jesus raised from the dead, he showed up to the guys on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't recognize him. When he walked through the wall where the disciples were hiding for fear of the Jews, his own disciples that had spent day and night with him for 3.5 years, they didn't recognize him. And he has a habit of showing up different than he did the last time. And what helps us to recognize him is the voice and the presence. When Mary Magdalene was in the garden weeping because of the death of Christ and the body was missing, and she was so distraught because Jesus' body was gone. And she's weeping in the garden, and in Jesus is standing behind her. That's why you're weeping. She, thinking he was the gardener, said, "If you've taken him away, please tell me where you've taken him, and I'll take him." And then he said, "Mary." It's awesome to know the voice that knows your name. It's amazing, because when he speaks to the deep of us. It's different. She never would have recognized him by form. She only recognized him by voice. And the Lord has a habit of showing up in ways that we're not accustomed to. And I think as much as anybody in here, I love reading about revival history. The only drawback is we tend to expect him to come the way he did sometime in history, and it just doesn't always do that. You know. So he comes, sometimes he does things that just, you know, gold dust in people's hands. What's that for? I don't know. I didn't do it. Ask him. If I was going to ask for something, I'd think of something different. Like maybe gold nuggets. Pastor friend of mine was here once. He actually had a gold nugget. Pretty, not a huge nugget, but, you know, like maybe half the size of maybe a third of the size of like a little fingernail or something about that size, just stuck on the side of his face, just appeared there. Yeah. He took it to a gold assayer, is that, I think that's what they call him, and it's just the purest quality gold, and it had an unidentifiable oil mixed in with it. So we had some people that were moving here, and this feather just appeared in their car. Now, this isn't sermon material, but I just feel mischievous tonight. Again. They had a friend, ornithologist, actually a Buddhist man. He's a bird specialist. So they took the feather to him. I never would have thought of that. The guy said, "Well, I haven't done, I don't know what kind of testing, DNA testing or whatever, I haven't done testing on it. But from the way it appears, it looks like it's the breast feather of a white dove." What's it for? Just signs that make you wonder. It's legal. I don't worship them. I don't ask for them, actually. To me, it's kind of like angels. Angels are really cool. I don't worship them, but I also don't ignore them. And if Jesus does a sign, you know, it always points to him. You know, that's what signs do. You know, forgive the old illustration, but when we leave tonight, none of us will crawl through the exit sign. We will all go through the exit that the sign points to. And miracles become boring when they become the end. But the miracle points to the person who never gets old. Every miracle displays another facet of his wonder, of his beauty. He never, ever gets old. Yeah. If there's boredom, you know, check the distance between you and the master. You know, because he's anything but boring. In fact, he scares me most of the time. And this joy thing hit our table. And this guy in the booth goes, "That is the joy of the Holy Ghost."
God, our Father, Right now, Pastor Bill Johnson's five-message CD series entitled Supernatural Breakthrough is yours in thanks for any gift of support for TBN. And for a gift of $85 or more, you may also request Keys for Walking in the Supernatural, six messages on DVD, plus Bill Johnson's best-selling book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Call or go online now to share a gift and request all three of these powerful resources from Pastor Bill Johnson.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you, Mama.
So let's read about how good God is. God is so good to us. Everything that we need, He gives to us.
Even that one right now.
I'm reading about the little cat and the little bird. And sometimes the shadows seem dark, but is God still good?
Yeah.
Good. When is God good?
Every day.
We've just had this crazy night. If it's the night that I'm thinking of, it was the night that Club Feet got healed, this little boy. Oh, goodness gracious. This little three-year-old boy got club feet. He's got scabs on his feet from walking on the tops of his feet. And some of our students prayed for him, and his feet are like this. And he's just staring at the tops of his feet. And he would reach over and touch the scabs because they're now on top. They were on the bottom. Now they're on the top. And he's just touching. And one of his little friends comes over to him and says, "Run, Chris, run." So he runs in this circle with like a billion-dollar smile, you know, as he runs back, and it was just, you know, it's just a meltdown moment. You don't know if you should shout and dance or just fall on your face and cry or try to do all at once, you know. It was just one of those moments. I mean, we had a gal out of a wheelchair, and we had a blind eye open, deaf ear. I remember nerve damage down the entire side of somebody's body that was healed. It was the only meeting in my life that I lost total control of the meeting. I lost control of the meeting completely. I turned people loose for prayer. I never could get their attention again. And it's not like I needed to, but I just kind of wanted to bring a nice close to the meeting and stuff. I finally quit, got down in the mosh pit and started praying myself. You know, it was like, we never did end that meeting. It could still be going. I don't know. That was probably, 18 years ago or something, a long time. So on the way back, we're in Carl's Jr. and we're buzzing from what just happened. And over here in the booth is the man of the Gadarenes. He was the only one at his table, but he was not the only one there. And there was all kinds of stuff going around in his booth. And it was just the Twilight Zone that ages me. But anyway, so we order and we sat and we're eating there, and this joy thing hit our table. And this guy in the booth goes, "That is the joy of the Holy Ghost." Several years ago, this family from Norway came to visit us. And they had a young boy who was dying. His body couldn't absorb nutrients, and his muscles were just disappearing. He could hardly function at all. They had to feed him intravenously at night while he slept, and they wanted to do one final family event because he's dying. He can't live. He can't continue to live that way. It's been deteriorating for quite a while. He's in a motorized wheelchair. So they thought maybe his one last event as a family to come to Bethel. And you know, you almost can't get here from Norway. You know, I mean, it's just a ways. And they packed up, I think if I remember right, 350 kilos of medical equipment, supplies and stuff for that, if you can imagine that airplane ride. And they came, and they were right over here for one of our conferences. And the child can't eat anything at all, nothing whatsoever. And they made a movie in Norway about this miracle. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Adrian was completely fine until he was 5.5 months. That's when we tried to introduce baby foods. And he would scream. He was in a lot of pain. When he was about 15 months old, we realized that he didn't have any absorption. And from the age of 4, he was in a wheelchair because he had a progressive muscle disease as well. He couldn't go to school. He couldn't eat anything because his intestines couldn't take any food. So he had all his nutrition being given intravenously. He had different injections because of his immune deficiency, a lot of needles. When Adrian was a toddler, we would take him out and go for walks, you know, just to make sure that he wasn't bothered by the fact that everyone else was eating. And then he said, "Why can't I be a part of the meal?" So we started making him a part of the meal as well, and he had food on his plate, and he would cut it up into pieces and just smell it and feel it and just being part of the social life at the table.
I wanted to try it, but I knew I couldn't do it because I would get sick, and I didn't miss it because I never tried it.
They couldn't tell us usually this happens. But what they could say is that he's getting very sick very fast. And the doctor would say that if you ever want to do something together as a family, this is your window of opportunity.
I was always aware of the chance of going to die. I was never saying, when I get old. I was always saying, if I get old.
Yeah, you were actually saying, if I grow up. You knew that sometimes kids pass away too. My husband and I talked about creating a memory for the rest of the family to live on when Adrian was no longer there. We thought, oh, we'd like to go to a conference. And that might be strange for someone, but we were never able to go anywhere. So we talked about going to Bethel. Our kids love the music. And then we checked out, where is Bethel? And it was just way, way too far away for Adrian to go there, and it would just be too dangerous for him to have such a long flight. And then all of a sudden, the presence of God left. After 2 months, we were desperate. And we thought, when was the last time we sensed the presence of God? Well, that's when we talked about going to Bethel, and there it was. And we realized that he was calling us to go. So at first possible opportunity, when they asked, does anyone need a miracle, he raised his hand.
When they prayed for me, I didn't feel anything. Nothing happened.
We went straight to a restaurant for lunch, and we ordered, and we were talking about what we had seen God doing. Adrian was asking if he could have one of the breadsticks just to play with, and all of a sudden he said, "Can I have another one?" And I was like, "No, you can't, you already have one." And he said, "Not anymore." I was like, what did you do? Did you eat it? And he's like, "Yeah."
I was getting annoyed because they were always asking that night, "Oh, are you all right, are you all right? You asked me 2 minutes ago, am I still all right?"
He's right, we probably asked him 50 times.
I'm still alive.
Yeah. And then in the morning, I tiptoed in to see. And he woke up and he said, "When's breakfast?" He had like pizza, he had chicken, fries.
Burgers,
chocolate chip cookies. You had a thing for chocolate chip cookies. And he would eat everything. He would literally just vacuum everything. After a couple of days, we noticed that something was going on in his back, because we were used to giving him massages and it felt like muscle tissue. And we thought, this is just too weird. We won't tell anyone. But within a few days, he was jumping out of his wheelchair and just running about. And
I was running around and I used that I could sit down. I couldn't sit down. You filled the wheelchair with bags.
I had all my shopping bags in your wheelchair, yeah. It came in handy. We called our doctor. Everything that was related to his malabsorption and his digestive problems was checked out, and they were amazed. As for his muscles, we had that checked out by a physiotherapist 3 weeks after his healing. She was just stunned by the new muscle tissue that had formed during those weeks. And she had known him for years. So many things have happened during these 4 years that Adrian has been healed. You get to go away for weekends, yeah, go to conferences or festivals. It's a different life, huh? You have a lot of opportunities, don't you? Yeah.
Almost too many.
No, there's never too many.
I pray you were blessed by this amazing testimony of God's healing power. And as we like to say around here at Bethel, if God has done it once, he can and will do it again. If you'd like to grow in your understanding of the supernatural power of God's kingdom, I encourage you to get a copy of our revival resources, Supernatural Breakthrough, and Keys for Walking in the Supernatural. You can also get a copy of my book, When Heaven Invades Earth. This is where I explore the Lord's Prayer and his mandate for all of us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. Enjoy this selection of Bethel Music Worship, and I hope to see you for part two of this message, Worship and Miracles. May the Lord bless you and your entire household.
Breakthroughs and miracles could be a normal part of your daily life in God. As Pastor Bill Johnson reveals in this 5-message CD series entitled Supernatural Breakthrough, they can.
The supernatural power of God can and should be a daily part of the life of every believer. You can live a lifestyle of miracles and breakthroughs.
Right now, this series is yours in thanks for any gift of support for the outreaches of TBN. And if you're able to share a gift of $85 or more, we'll also send you Keys for Walking in the Supernatural, 6 messages on DVD to help you live a breakthrough lifestyle, plus Bill Johnson's best-selling book, When Heaven Invades Earth. Call or go online now to share a gift and request these powerful resources from Pastor Bill Johnson. Call 800-339-1601 or share your gift online when you visit tbn.org/supernatural.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you, Mama.
So let's read about how good God is. God is so good to us. Everything that we need, He gives to us.
Even that one or that one.
I'm reading about the little cat and the little bird. And sometimes the shadows seem dark, but is God still good?
Yeah.
Good. When is God good?
Every day.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's the fact that Jesus actually took our place in punishment for sin so that we could step into His place of eternal life. And I invite you now just to turn your heart to the Lord Jesus and say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I turn from every part of my life that doesn't honor you, and I live purposefully to serve you, to honor you, to celebrate who you are as my Lord, as my Savior.